Everything hangs on the rod of love. You hear that? Everything. And this is message number 16 in our series, by the way. When you let love fall, your faith, healing, prosperity, prayers, deliverance, everything falls. Get an image in your mind of a closet rod, a rod in a closet, you know, and if you ever had one that wasn't properly hung up or you got too much weight on it, I don't know, maybe everybody's had an experience where that one end of that rod would drop, then everything on that rod slides off and onto the floor. I think we've all had one at one time. Maybe we got one now.
You had one too.
Small,
and the landlord had to redo it.
Everything falls, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everything falls. So when it may get an image of love and all of your life hanging on that rod.
Amen.
And then when you let that drop, you're the one that lets it drop. God does not. You let the end of that rod drop in your life through your actions, through what you talk about, through what you think, through your lack of knowledge of the word, through your unkindness, through the things that you do in your daily life. You let that rod drop, so your faith drops. Everything in our life, as we said before, has its source in love. Everything hangs on that rod. As a Christian, whatever we do or do not do hangs on that rod. But everything, whether you're born again or not, hangs on that rod.
Yeah.
Our love walk is vital in our lives. It's vital in every area of our lives. And the reason that some of us fail is because we do not watch over our love walk.
Yeah.
We do not do that. Even born again, there are benefits to walking in love. There's benefits to being kind. There's benefits to allowing yourself to lay your life down for someone else, born again or not. How much more so it is with the Christian, because that's supposed to be our lifestyle. We are supposed to be walking in love. So we're going to start today in Luke chapter 10. And there's many places where you can start on this subject, but we're going to start today in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And the Amplified Classic is what I'll be using as a Bible version. But the other versions are similar. And then a certain lawyer, now he's not a priest, he's a lawyer, he understands the law, he's well versed in the law. And then a certain lawyer arose to try, test, tempt him, saying, "Teacher, what am I to do to inherit everlasting life? That is, to partake of eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom." Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live, enjoy active, blessed, endless life in the kingdom of God." Now, there's several things in that particular verse that we may overlook. I mentioned one just a moment ago. This is a certain lawyer. He's not just a priest or just anyone, just someone off the road. This guy knew the law. He was a lawyer. So he understood exactly what he expected Jesus to say. But yet he asked him the question, why do you think he did that? One, he was trying to position Jesus in a place where he would blaspheme, where he would say something opposite the law so that he could come against that. So he was trying to set Jesus up. And no matter what version you get, it says that he was trying to test him. The other one is what Jesus answered to him in verse 26. What is written in the law? How do you read it? What was he saying to this man? He didn't answer his question, the man's question, because he knew the man already knew, for one thing. And he was referring him back to what? He was referring him back to the law itself. He was referring him to something that was a commandment for all of Israel. So it was like a question that did not have to be asked. So Jesus knew what the guy was trying to do here, but he wanted him to acknowledge it himself. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, if you watch the old Perry Mason shows like that, the lawyer never asks a question he doesn't already know the answer.
Exactly. And he already knew the answer before he asked that question. He's a lawyer. So there was no excuse for him not to know this. Now, for someone just off the road, just, you know, an ordinary person coming up there and asking that question, it would have been a question that the person wanted to know. He legitimately wanted to know. So then Jesus would have answered
that. That's what the rich young man said.
That's what the rich young man, he asked the same question, because the rich young ruler, when he came, he legitimately wanted to know. So what does it say? Jesus looked upon him and loved him.
Yeah.
Because he knew the person's heart. This guy, he knew his heart too. He knew exactly why he was asking this question. But yet, he still went ahead and answered it. But he let the person answer it himself because he already knew. How many times do we ask questions that we already know the answer for, but we don't want to acknowledge
the answer?
We know what they're going to say. You already know that you're wrong. Why asking you why you did wrong? You already know most of the time. Well, Jesus really wanted to answer the question, not just for this person's sake, but for those that were around him. He wanted also to draw him to what was written.
Amen.
Notice how he said that. He said, what is written in the law? That's the question he asked the person. How do you read it? He was making it more than just something the person knew. He was making it personal for that person. How do you read it? You asked me the question.
As a lawyer.
As a lawyer, how do you read it? What's your interpretation of it? Which is what the guy was asking Jesus. But in a way of trapping. Jesus was not trying to trap the person. He was drawing him right back to the law itself. What is written in the law? How do you read it? Now, you can read the law and not understand it, but he knew this guy knew. And by what the man said, he proved that he knew what it said.
Oh, yeah.
So he said, this man said, now another place that this is written similar, Jesus answers this question himself the same way. But in this one, he's letting the person answer the question for himself. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's your spirit. And with all your soul, that's your mind, emotions, and will. And with all your strength. And with all your mind. So thought, word, and deed, spirit, soul, and body, every area of life, financially and socially, we are to love the Lord our God with everything that is within us. Not just with our mind, but with our heart. Because everything hangs on the rod of love.
Amen.
Now this lawyer knew that, but he had to approach it from the angle of law, of commandment, because he didn't have anything else. We are, because it's post-cross or pre-cross, we are post-cross. So we approach the same commandment from love, returning our love back to the Father, returning our love to others. We lay our life down for it. It is a commandment, but it is something that God commanded us to do, and he placed himself within us in order to accomplish that. We have so much more than this lawyer had, or those before the cross. Before the cross, everything was commandment, because the Holy Spirit could not come and reside within these. He would be upon, but they had to do it from a position of law, from a position of works. They couldn't do it from a position of grace and mercy. We can do it from a position of grace and mercy. Because of that, we have a higher responsibility.
Yeah.
We have a higher responsibility to walk in love because love himself dwells within us. When we got born again, our spirit and God's spirit merged as one. We have no excuse for not walking in love. We really don't. not only is a commandment, it's who we are. As he is, so are we in this world. We have the commandment, but the responsibility and the ability to do so. We have so much more than what that lawyer had. But yet, it's the same thing. It is written. We receive the love walk from ourselves, from the inside out to our mind and then to our body. He received it, the lawyer and pre-cross received it from the outside by obedience to a law. But it could not come from the inside because the Holy Spirit wasn't there. He could not be there until the cross took place. So there's so much here that we need to be aware of. But specifically, I got to ask myself, how do I love the Lord? How do I love the Lord? How do I love others? You must. Now, what emphasis is must?
It's a command.
It's a command. Doesn't matter how you read must. It's something that you have to do. It's not a choice here. It is a choice, but there really isn't a choice. Because we only have one way to go, and that's the love way. Because we're born again. We're born after love, so we are love. So we really only have way. There is a choice, but it's the wrong one. See, the way, before you get born again, you don't have to choose sin. It's who you are.
You're in it.
You don't have to choose to be separated from God because you already are. You're already separated from God. You were born separated from God. Because of the law of sin and death, because of the fall of Adam, everyone born is already separated from God. They don't have to choose that. They're already walking in the law of sin and death. But once you get, you from that position, you have to choose to be born again. There's only one choice, and that's God. That's being born again. Then you move from darkness into light. From death into life. Once you get genuinely born again. Now you have to choose sin.
Yeah.
Because sin's abnormal for us. We're walking in life now. We don't have to choose life. We have to choose the life way. But we already are in life. So for us to sin, once you get born again, we have to choose that. We have to choose to move from life back over there under the law of sin and death because we're born again. We're connected with God. Not born again, you have to choose life. Born again, you have to choose death. If you're not born again, you're already there. You're already dead if you're not born again. But if you're born again, you're already alive.
You have to get your mind renewed to that.
You have to get our minds renewed to that. Because now...
Because it's too easy to go back.
It's too easy to go back for our carnal nature.
Yeah.
But the more we walk in life, the more we choose the love way, the more we hang everything on the rod of love, the easier it is to walk love. If you're not born again, it's hard to do it. It's a struggle. You're pushing on it. Or if your mind's not been renewed and you don't know who you are in Christ... You're still living under the law of sin and death, so it's hard life. It's hard for you. But once you get born again and you start walking the love walk, you start walking with God, you start putting yourself into the Word on purpose and allowing that Word to take root in your heart and life, because you're born again, it becomes easier and easier and easier because your carnal nature is being put under. Your spirit man is in charge. So walking that way becomes easier. It does not become a something that is hard for you to do because you're walking in love. God's Spirit is moving in you. He's strengthening you, teaching you. Love is flowing in you and through you and out of you. But if you're not born again, then it becomes hard. Something that you just can't do. I cannot love that way. Then either you're walking under the law of sin and death, or you're not born again. There's two reasons why you can't do it, and that's the only two there is. You are choosing the law of sin and death and don't understand who you are in Christ, or you're not born again. But if you're born again, it should be hard for you to sin. Because you're born again. It's abnormal for you to do that. Because you're born again. You see the difference in the two? Once you genuinely get born again, you move from death to life. Amen. So it becomes hard to go back. That's why somebody that's genuinely born again is never satisfied in that sin anymore. It cannot be satisfying like it was because they're dead to that. Before, it was hard to walk in love because they were not born again. They were trying to do something spiritually that all they have to work with is their mind, emotions, and will. And it's not born again. So they can't walk it. So it's up to us. Do we want life, peace, and joy, and rest in our heart and life? Do we want love to flow in and out and be one with our Father? Or do we want to struggle through life all the time and be fear and full of fear, worry, depression, anger, and all those things? And that be normal for our life. Those things are abnormal for the Christian, but they're normal for those that are not born again. It should be hard for us to walk in fear and worry. And that it's a process of time. Even though we're born again and we desire to walk in love and to experience these things, it takes time. There's a process to develop our spirit man and to develop our walk in love. It does not take much effort to walk in sin. You're just there. You see the difference in the two? Mm-hmm. It takes a man to walk in, or a woman, a real man or woman, to walk the love walk. It takes someone that's going to die to sin and die to the world. They reckon themselves, as Mother's favorite word, they reckon themselves dead to sin. Yeah. That's a choice that I have to make. And once you make it and you choose to walk it, it becomes easier and easier and easier to do. So much so, it's just not something you're drawn to anymore. It's like once you quit eating a certain thing that you used to desire all the time and you eat something in its place, you no longer want that anymore. You don't go back to it anymore because you've made a quality choice and you have developed a relationship with this new item, with a new way of life. I'm developing my relationship with the Lord to the place where I don't want anything else. There's no draw there. And when it does draw, I can correct myself and get back where I was, because walking with God is by far much, 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 much better. So that's why he said here, how do you read it? He wanted this person to acknowledge it for himself. He wants us to acknowledge it for ourselves. How do we read it? What does it say? Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. So in other words, what you're saying is right. You already know, don't you? You know this. What are you asking me for? You know it. So if you know it, do that. Do this. And you will live. And that's even before the cross. You do this. If they walked the commandment, they walked in blessing. Mm-hmm. It opened the door for God to pour his presence out in and through them. But they had to obey the law to do it. How much more so when he put himself in us, that he pours himself in and through us because of that. This is so important to us. If we want to know why we fail so often, then usually that's where it's at. That should be the very first place we go. Whenever we are not walking the way we should walk, we should check up on our love walk. Am I self-centered in my life? Everything I do, is it to benefit me? Or do I want to benefit others? Am I using what I have to bless those around me? Manifestations come through expressing God's love towards others. Manifestations are coming, things coming into being, things coming forth, coming into, it's creative. Love is creative. And so manifestations come through expressing God's love toward others. As we do that, as we take God's love and we express it through us to others, manifestations happen, not only in our own life, but in other people's lives, in those we are expressing. Things start happening. But we, the church, sorry to say, but we have resisted God's love for so long that we fail to see manifestations in our lives as we should.
Sad but true.
It is. I'm not blaming, you can't blame the world, they don't know him. But those of us who are born again don't understand love. We don't understand who we are. We don't know who we are. So we walk our lives just like everybody else does. Matter of fact, the world expects us to be like them, and therefore they class Christianity as just another religion. Mm-hmm. Just another thing people gather to do. No power, no presence, just a set of morals. That's not Christianity.
Right.
That's the religion Christianity, but it's not Christianity. Christianity is a laid down life, a love life. Christianity is, he died for me, so I lay my life down for others. We're more other-centered than we are self-centered. So if we want to see, and it's sad that we don't see manifestations as we should, because of our love walk is not where it needs to be. And our love walk is not where it needs to be because we treat it just as something that I can choose to do. It's something that I'll get there sometime.
See, that's what I've got to change. It's like...
All of us do,
Ida. I was baptized and everything a long time ago, but it's like...
Sometimes we got to start over, don't we? We got to start again.
I go from one side to the other side, and sometimes I'm in the middle, and I've got to change that.
The grace of God will do that for you.
Amen.
You don't have to do it on your own.
You said something there, Ida, about I have to change it. Actually, what we do is we make a choice, and then we walk in the choice, and he changes us.
Yeah.
I see, as we focus on our love walk and loving him, his love flows into us. And as his love, as we set our love upon him, his love flows into us, it changes us from the inside out. Our mind is renewed, our decisions are renewed, because we're focusing our love on him. We're getting into the Word, and the Word's teaching us. And the Holy Spirit's rising within us and pointing certain things out that we need to work on. It's not a negative for the Holy Spirit to say, hey, you're falling short here. He does that so we can work on it, not by ourselves, but with him. Mm. See, anything the Holy Spirit points out to us where we're falling short, if it's the Holy Spirit doing it, he will quicken us there. He will lead us to how to do it. He'll teach us how. And then he'll strengthen us and be with us as he does it. He winds up doing it for us as we agree and obey and walk the way we're supposed to walk. He does it from the inside out. He makes the change.
It's a process.
The process. But now the other way around, if you're not born again, you're going to try to do it yourself. You're going to try to... You squeeze like you're just gripping on and you're trying to force yourself into it. That's your carnal nature doing that. And you won't succeed. You can't succeed that way. But you do succeed when you lay that thing before the Lord and you come to him as his child and you say, help me, Lord. I can't do this on my own. I need you. Teach me. And the Word says he will teach us how to choose.
Yes.
But I got to be ready. And then when he shows me something, not to look at that thing as a negative. Not to look at it as condemnation. Because it's not. God will never condemn us. He's pointing it out because he's wanting to help us there. Mm-hmm. He needs my choice and my participation for him to be able to do it. But he actually does the work. The Word does the work. But I can't. If I could have done it, I'd have done it a long time ago. But if I did it a long time ago, it wouldn't last. Because I'd slip right back over where I was. But if I submit my heart and life to him, stay in his Word, and allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen me and encourage me and teach me, but I focus on the Word and my love for Him, then change will start.
Amen.
Manifestation will start and will grow stronger. That's where the church fails. It's because they want to do it on their own and they can't. We were never meant to do it on our own. That's why the Holy Spirit was put inside of us. He's supposed to be in charge. And we have to yield to His way of life. That means our carnal nature becomes uncomfortable at times. We struggle with it because we're wanting our mind to be in charge and it can't be. Okay, so just, we can't white knuckle and force our way through our Christian life. We yield our way through our Christian life. We obey His word. We apply ourselves to our loving Him and loving others. It's amazing how when you focus on love, how many other things just kind of fall away. Now I'm no longer mad all the time because His love is flowing in me and through me. Now I'm no longer depressed because His life is quickening me. His life is energizing me. All I'm doing is loving God and loving people. And His presence fills my life and lifts me up. I'm no longer depressed. I'm no longer, even when I don't have what I think I need, I'm still happy because I know whatever I really do need, He's supplying for me. And now, throughout the middle of the storms of life, I walk in rest. I'm resting. I'm not upset. I'm not worried or fearful because my love is focused on Him. I trust Him. I trust God. I trust the Lord Jesus. I trust the Word and I trust the Holy Spirit. I have to choose to trust Him. And if I'm choosing to trust Him, then He's moving through me because He already trusts me. You see, we're the only roadblock that God has. We're the only one. And that's sad to say that we are the one that hinders Him. That's the only way He can be hindered. Okay, so I'll read that again. Manifestations come through expressing God's love towards others. And you cannot express God's love toward others till you express your love towards Him.
Yeah.
Then His love flows through you to others. And then I mentioned, but we have resisted God's love for so long that we fail to see manifestations in our lives as we should because we think we're okay. Mm-hmm. But we're never okay if we're not walking in love. If we're letting our emotions govern us, if we're letting our feelings and other people and the world's way and being selfish, self-centered in our life, letting that rule, we're not going to be at rest. We can't be. But when we submit to God, we can be. Real love always produces manifestations of His presence. When I'm expressing my love to God, His presence is there. You'll know He's present. You'll sense His love in your heart. And you'll desire to want to do things. It'll be a desire for you to love Him. And then your love for others will increase. Now you'll catch yourself making excuses for people. They come up to you and they just cuss you right out, up one side and down the other. And you don't strike back like you used to. Now, you just stand there and love them. All the time you're praying for them.
I've got one that still does
it. When you walk away, you think, well, he just had a bad day. Somebody was real mean to him today. Or he's abused as a child. He doesn't know Jesus. He needs to know Jesus. He doesn't understand. I know he meant what he said. But honestly, he didn't. Because he's deceived. He just doesn't know God. And you'll find yourself walking away praying for him instead of trying to get even or finding a way to get even with him. Because love's in your heart and life. takes a strong person in the natural to walk away from a bus without saying anything. But it's not all that hard for the Christian that loves God and is walking in love, because it's his desire to bless this person. You don't have to answer back. And even if you did answer back, you're not going to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. And you'll walk away frustrated. But when you stand there and you love the person anyways, for one, the fight's over with. As soon as he runs out of words, the fight's over. There's no more fuel. And you didn't answer back, so the fuss is over. And you turn away. Now there's peace there where there was division. Even though that guy don't like you, maybe doesn't like you to a larger degree than before because you didn't answer back. Mm-hmm. He expected a fight and you didn't give him one. Mm-hmm. It takes a man or a woman of God to love that person anyways and walk away. They think you're weak, but you're the strongest one there because you were able to control your emotions. You were able not to strike back. You were able to allow God's love to flow through you to that person. And you walk away in victory and peace. And eventually that person will remember that. He'll never forget why you... He won't understand it. But eventually he will. And you wind up winning your brother because you love them enough to walk away. That's not a weak person. That's a strong person. Real love always produces manifestation of his presence. We must demonstrate love in order to have genuine manifestation of God's word in our life at all times. If we want manifestation, visible presence in our life, we have to love. We have to love. If we want the word to be alive and manifestations of the word, love is the fuel for that. John 13:33, again the Amplified. We've talked about this a couple weeks in a row, and we've mentioned it before in previous messages, but we'll read it again because it's so important. John 13:34. I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another just as I have loved you, so should you love one another. That's not a suggestion. And we read it that way. We read it as, I suggest. Or, if you really want to make me happy, do this. That's not what it says. It's a commandment. That means there's no way around it. This is what you do. If you're my disciple, you do this. If you're born again, you do this. This is what you do. It's a commandment. That you should love one another. Then he qualifies it, just as I have loved you. He loved us. He loved everyone. He's still loving everyone. He loves us with the love of the Father. He loves us with his own heart and his own love. He loves us so much, he gave all he is, all he ever was. He laid down his life, went to hell, purchased our freedom, took the keys of death, and then rose from the dead.
Amen.
So that we can bypass hell altogether.
Hallelujah.
If we go to hell for any reason, it's not his fault, it's ours.
Right.
So this is a commandment. So he's telling us everything's going to hang on your love walk. Everything you do as a Christian, this is the root of it. I'm giving you this commandment. If you don't do it, your life will fail. This is vital. It's top priority above all else. There's nothing you can do that's more important than this. This is what you must do. So if it's something that we must do, then I suggest we need to be studying it. Don't you think?
Yeah.
If it's something we must do, it needs to be a priority in our life, in every area of our life. And it needs to be such a priority that it supersedes my desiring from my carnal nature to get even with somebody, or to strike back, or to talk back to them, or to cuss them out, or to do anything that's coming against me. I can't do that. I cannot respond in my kind. I have to respond in love. to obey that, because everything hangs on it. That's what Jesus is saying. When you get born again, I've even given you my own strength and my own spirit to do this. You have no excuse not to. This is my commandment. So, why do we study the end times? Above that. Why do we study creation instead of that? Why do we study faith instead of that? Faith won't work without love.
That's right.
So no matter what you're focusing on your study, you must apply that to it first. If you don't study what you're studying through the eyes of love, through the eyes of the Father's love, through the eyes of who we are in Christ, if you don't study it, you're going to miss it. You're not going to understand it if you don't study it through this. And the best place to divide that is the cross.
Yeah.
Is it pre-cross, post-cross? Is it law or is it grace? The cross is the dividing line of time and eternity, heaven and hell. It's the dividing line of creation. It's the dividing line of the Word. It's the dividing line of everything. And that's why the cross. Because of love. There's nothing that's more important than studying and walking the love walk. And you're going to fail. You will fail. That's why love built a security device in there. When he said, if you'll confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to forgive you of all unrighteousness. See, if you have a mind and a heart after love, if you're focusing on it, then you're going to recognize your failures. And not to the extent that you condemn yourself, but to the extent that it's like you wash your hands. The Word is washing me. Love is washing me. Love is keeping me clean. Love is keeping me right. Love is strengthening me in my failures. That's why he put that in there. That's why he not only took care of our sins one time at the cross and when we get born again, but continuously after that. He continuously washes us. The more we spend time in the Word, the stronger we are. The more we walk in love by choice, the stronger we are. The more we're washed, the more that flood, that washing flows. I can't do it alone. I can't do it on my own power. No one can. But I can through his love for me.
Amen.
I can as I focus on him, because my mind is being renewed. It's being recreated by the Word on a moment-by-moment basis. It's so important that we focus on that, especially if you're newly born again, or if you're just finding out who you are. Study love. Study love. Study the ways of the Lord, because they're all love-based. When the world sees the church, it is supposed to see love in action. Otherwise, it's not seeing the church. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we see an example of that. Now, this is where the church was born again. This is where the church was created and started. In the book of Acts, the very beginning is Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It's important that they made mention of the women, because pre-cross and law-based, women were not even mentioned. They had their own place. They had to learn from their husbands. They couldn't speak. And it was just men. When they said there was 5,000 present, they were talking about men.
Yeah.
They were not talking about the women or the children or anybody else is there. They were talking about 5,000 men. Everything is focused on men. But here, in the very first mention of the first church, the real church, it mentions the women. They were there too. I love that. I love that. But notice how important it was to mention that they were with one accord. What's one accord? It means they were one. What did Jesus pray? That they may be one, that the world may know. And what happened here? They were one. Now, originally, the Bible says Jesus appeared to 500. So there were 500 there, supposed to be. But it got whittled down to 120. Verse 15 says there was 120 there. So it dropped down from 500 to 120. Why did it drop down? Because it's too hot in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Those other, what is that? 280? No, 380. Those other 380, they couldn't love. They couldn't submit themselves one to another. They left. But these 120 decided, we're going to go all the way. They laid their lives down for one another. What happened there? Because they were one, the Holy Spirit was able to come. But he could not come till they got to that place. Till these people laid their lives down for one another and became one, the Holy Spirit could not come. When he came, he remained.
Amen.
But that's what happened when they became one. And I don't have time to go into it, but read that first two chapters there carefully and spend time in it. You'll find that this oneness produced fruit, and it allowed the Holy Spirit to come forth in such power that signs and manifestations and wonders started taking place because they joined their hearts.
Amen.
Because he was free. That very first day, the result of them being one, that same day Peter steps out and 3,000 gets born again from his message. And those 3,000 then become of one accord, it says.
Amen.
And immediately these people started becoming one. I will read that. Verse 41, starting in 41 of chapter 2. I'll go ahead and read it. I'll take enough time. Verse 41 of chapter 2. Now this is immediately after his message. The 120 became one. The Holy Spirit filled them. They step out. Peter preaches all the same time. Peter preaches. 3,000 get saved. Now these 3,000 we're focusing on. Therefore, those who accepted and welcomed his message were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. That's a harvest. Love did that.
Amen.
Then verse 42. And they, these 3,000, and they steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to instruction and fellowship with the apostles, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayers. And a sense of awe, reverential fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles to special messengers. And all who believed, who adhered to, trusted in, and relied on Jesus Christ were united, and together they had everything in common. You know how impossible that is for 3,000 people to not be selfish? They were not selfish. They were not self-centered. They had everything in common. Verse 45, and they sold their possessions, both their goods, their landed property, and their movable goods, and distributed the price among all, according as any had need. And day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose. And in their homes, they broke bread, including the Lord's Supper. They partook of their food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts, constantly praising God, being in favor and goodwill with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved from spiritual death.
Amen.
Now, what caused God to be able to do that? Their love one for another.
Yeah.
Because that's what they saw. The church, the people saw the love of God. The people saw what was happening in their midst. Manifestations was taking place because of the love walk.
Amen.
So God was free to move in them and through them. And the world recognized it. And signs followed that. Right in the next chapter, which is linked to this, Peter and John walk up there, and that man at the gate, you know, the beautiful gate, he's all crippled, been crippled all of his life. And they reach out and say, such as I have, give I thee. And he had never walked, but he leaped up. And he went in the temple leaping and praising God.
Hallelujah.
And everybody knew him. They recognized, this is the man at that gate. He's been there all of his life. Now, normally, if you haven't done something, you have to move your foot a little bit. You're not sure, are you?
Therapy.
That's not what happened to him. That there's so much power there that he jumped up and immediately he could walk and leap, never having done it at all in his life.
Praise
that's
Lord.
Awesome. Because they were one.
Amen.
That's why if love did that, not some special power in that apostle. Love did that. And it wasn't the apostles only. It's the other people doing the same thing. Wherever they went, love was in manifestation because they love one another.
Yeah.
And the church is going to get there again.
Yes.
We have failed because we don't recognize it anymore. But God is bringing messages like this forth and bringing it out in various pulpits and around the world individually, one-on-one sharing, bringing the manifestation of his love back because the church has to have it. We have to know this. Think, well, there's only 3 of us, 4 of us, 5 of us, 50 of us, 10 of us, 1 of us. It doesn't matter. The number's not important. What is important is that they love one another. And you'll reach more people loving one another than you will ever will with a message. It's vital that we understand this. If you don't have time to read or study or anything, then you better make time.
Amen.
But in the time that you make, study your love walk.
Yeah.
Ask God to show you where you're falling short. Make a quality decision to work on that and let the Holy Spirit do the work in and through
Amen.
You. He will. And he'll allow others to link up with you. They need help too. And as they love you, the love is flowing into them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're growing. You can never love someone else and fall short.
Amen.
Thank you. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for teaching these things. Oh, Lord, we want this. But do we want it enough? Father, I ask you to stir our hearts up. We choose to stir ourselves up the way your word says. But as we stir ourselves up, Lord, you stir us up with that. You
yes,
bring
Lord.
Forth your word in us. You help us and teach us and point us to the right places and the right people and cause us to have revelation, Lord. Lord, we love you so much. We set our love upon you by choice. You've already set your love upon us. And we receive that love today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.